We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It is February 26th. It's 2021. We have 9 NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. We are presented by Monkey Knife Fight. They are the fastest growing single player DFS site out there. Get a matching 100% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit. RotoGrinders.com/partner/MKF. Take advantage. Get the free money. They have a ton of stuff going on for NBA. They got PGA. They got some NASCAR stuff. They got NHL stuff. They got a ton of stuff. So make sure you guys are checking them out. I'm joined today by my good buddy, Genie407. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. We'll see. It's still undecided about how my fantasy night's going to go. I've got a lot of good shots that I should know by the end of the show whether they're going to end up all right or not. But, yeah, not doing too bad. Yeah, can't believe February is almost over.
Very, very high on the Orlando Magic. So I know how my fantasy day is going to end up. So
I had a lot of Fournier, but.
And like, so I had DJ Augustine too, and I swapped DJ Augustine to Forbes. And DJ Augustine might actually outscore Forbes. So
you just hate that.
You know, it is what it is. Let's get into it. 9 games. We have a lot of totals. We have a lot of injury news. And these are always slates that we can really like kind of get into and talk about. So what's even more frustrating is like I played Zion and Jokic, like, and they're both like crushing. And it's like I got that right. Didn't get the Magic right. We start with the Pacers and the Celtics. 218.5 total here. Boston favored by 3 in this game. LeVert, Warren out, Jakar Sampson questionable. Marcus Smart remains out for Boston. What do you like here for the Pacers?
I mean, I know that Sabonis has been really good recently, but I feel like that price tag of 10.4K is probably a little bit too high. So I don't know if I'll end up going with too much exposure on him on this slate. So he's probably a cross off for me. I'm not going to argue with it in tournaments. He has put up over 50 in 4 of the last 5, but and put an 80 burger there. But price tag just seems a little bit too constrictive for me. I'm not going to go with it. I expect him to end up with about 55 points. So not worth it for me. Turner, probably a cross off. McConnell, probably a cross off. Not going with Holiday, Lamb, McDermott, any of those guys. I feel like the one guy that I still think probably has some upside at his price tag, although it's just tough to play on the slate when there's so many other guys right around the same price tag that also have some upside, is Malcolm Brogdon. He kind of turned things around a little bit. He had a horrible shooting spree, shooting about 35% from the field for a 7-game span. And then he's kind of put it together a little bit over the last three, shooting over 50% from the field, contributing in other areas. He's going to play 40 minutes if this game ends up staying close, or high 30s minutes if this game stays close. So even a tougher matchup versus Boston, I feel like he definitely has some upside because the volume's absolutely there. Over 20 shot attempts in the last three games, now that he's pulled things together. And so I think he can end up with a 50-some-odd point game here and an 8.1K that's a little bit too cheap.
Yeah, I think I worry about this game being a little bit slower, but I think this game's going to be like super competitive overall. So I think, you know, everything that you talked about, I'm with you on that. And on the Boston side of things, Kemba Walker at 6,200, you know, playing 33 to 35 minutes a night, like he's probably like the main target for me when it comes to the Boston side.
Yep. No, fully agree with you. Walker's far too cheap here. Tatum's probably priced around where he should be. Can probably get you 50 points at 9.3K, but he's not getting you a ton more most of the time, especially in matchup versus Indy, who's just kind of a little bit better than average defensively, middle of the pack in terms of pace. So he's kind of just doesn't make the cut on the slate. Jaylen Brown has been playing all right, but I mean, averaging 40 points over his last 10, not really going to get you more than that in any spot. He hasn't had over 50 in multiple weeks or over a month, I think. So matchup versus Indy, not really a plus spot. 8.6K, just not getting it done there. I think that Tristan Thompson continually getting around 26 to 30 minutes every single night at 4.7K offers you a little bit of upside. They might end up rolling him out for more minutes, considering that they're going up against a bonus and against Turner. So I think the higher end of the 20s is the more likely scenario here. So 4.7K, it's a little bit too cheap of a price. He's a decent value play on the slate and one of the more underpriced guys, definitely the most underpriced guy in this game.
We move on. We got Houston at Toronto, 219.5 total here. Toronto favored by 7.5. Christian Wood remains out. Exum's out. What are we looking at here, you know, with Houston?
Wall and Oladipo. With Oladipo back in the game, that kind of crosses out Eric Gordon and Tate for me. Yes, they can always go off for a decent night. But more than likely, like, the usage of Oladipo coming in there is going to eat into their usage too much, where they're still priced up enough for when Oladipo was out. So I just don't really see them paying off their price tags. It's strictly Wall and Oladipo, and I'm not a huge fan of either of them. They're both fine plays, but we know that John Wall, like, his minutes is always a little bit of a question mark on any given night, especially if this game ends up turning into a blowout, which Houston has not been good over the last 10 games. So if you want to stack this game up, I'm fine with using Wall and Oladipo. But other than that, I'm probably just fading the Rockets.
Yeah, like I think the big man situation for Houston's kind of a mess. I think Tishon, you know, Jason Tate is somewhat interesting, but like Eric Gordon, Tate, all these guys are playing like right at 30 minutes. It's just hard to trust any of these guys outside of like Oladipo and Wall. On the Toronto side of things, you know, Kyle Lowry expected back here. He's only 7K. I think he's somewhat interesting at that price. Fred VanVleet is a little expensive, but he's always a guy that can kind of go off.
Yeah, I mean, Siakam, VanVleet, Lowry, like Siakam, I think the tallest guy over on Houston that's going to be in the game, I think, is Jayson Tate. I think he's 6'6". So a little bit of a size mismatch here for he's 6'5". For Siakam, going to be one of the tallest guys on the court outside of when they have Boucher in there. Probably going to throw PJ Tucker on whoever, which is a plus matchup. So I actually think Siakam's probably my favorite play, him and Lowry. I know Siakam had a terrible game the last game, but he still offers you 50-point upside. He still contributes in all areas of the floor, and I think that the matchup is good going up against a third-ranked pace team that has been better defensively, but I don't know if they're going to be that great going up against a 6'9 guy. So Siakam's probably my favorite, but I mean, it's Toronto. Like, any given night, with everyone playing, you're just kind of throwing a dart at Van Vliet, Lowry, and Siakam. And then Boucher just can't fully trust his minutes. Maybe he gets a little bit of extra run considering that they're going up against PJ Tucker at the five. And I don't think he's going to get in foul trouble with that. So, yeah, honestly, like, if you want to take a tournament shot on Boucher, hope for a few extra minutes. Hope they give him some extra run because they are going up against an undersized team. Then I think that he makes an interesting tournament option here tonight.
Moving on, we got Phoenix at Chicago, 226 total. Phoenix favored by 5.5. You know, Hutchinson, Markkanen, Porter Jr. all still out for Chicago. Phoenix is good to go. Phoenix is playing, you know, some of the best basketball in the NBA right now. What do you like here for the Suns?
Chris Paul. Booker's priced where he should be. Chris Paul's too cheap at 7.5K. It's a matchup versus Chicago, one of the faster-paced teams in the NBA, currently fourth. One of the not great defensive efficiency teams in the NBA, sitting 18th overall, and they're probably worse than that. So 7.5K, Chris Paul is the only guy that I can really consider over on the Suns. Everyone else is kind of getting or priced where they should be, like Bridges, Crowder at 4.5 and 5.4K. Like, they're not going to give you much upside on any night consistently. Sarge, not going to do too much. Aiden is 6.8K, just hasn't been putting up massive outings. So occasionally put up a 40-point game, but more likely than not, he's going to end up with around 25 to 35 points. And 6.8K, that's not going to get you done there. So Chris Paul is the guy that's giving you a nice little floor pretty much every single game, and he'll give you a legit possibility of 50 points.
Of course, I yawn right when you finish. Chris Paul, I think, would be like my favorite player here from this side of the ball. I don't hate Devin Booker at 8K. You know, we know he's someone, if he gets hot, he can go for 50 plus. So I think those would be like the two main targets from the Phoenix side of things. I don't think like I end up on Bridges or any of these other guys. I think Bridges is kind of like his price is decreased enough where if you end up on him in large field tournaments, if you're MMEing or something, I think that is where you'd probably end up on Bridges the most. On the Chicago side of things, we know Zach LaVine's usage is just insane right now with Markkanen out. Like, he's had some big games. He's had some games that aren't great as well. But the guy that I'm looking at here is the guy that I've talked about the last couple games. You know, he's had a great matchup against Houston. He's had a great matchup against Minnesota. And now he gets a matchup with, you know, DeAndre Ayton. I think we look at Wendell Carter Jr. at 5,900.
Yeah, he may be a little bit better defensively this year, but he's still not great. Wendell Carter Jr. putting up 40 in the last two. His price tag's moved up a bit, but not a ton. Like, he's still playing low 30s minutes. He's shooting the ball a decent amount. He's getting a ton of boards, and I think there's a spot where he can absolutely contribute. But you're right, it's pretty much LaVine and Wendell Carter Jr. White, outside of his big outburst where he shot ridiculous from behind the arc and shot 17 times, hasn't had too many big games. So a tough matchup versus Phoenix, who is above average defensively and isn't playing at a fast pace at all. I don't expect too much out of him. Thad Young, Patrick Williams. It's just Wendell Carter and LaVine, just because LaVine's massive usage, you can go off in any given game.
Yep. Moving on, we got Sacramento at Detroit, 224.5 total here. Sacramento favored by 1.5. The Kings are on a back-to-back, so we'll be waiting to see, like, injury report for them. And then on the Detroit side, like, Griffin's out, Hayes is out, Okafor's out, Wright is out, and Bay is questionable. The Sacramento side here, you know, like, it's hard not to like Bagley and Holmes in general, but I think we continue to take shots on, like, Halliburton.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, take your pick on who to play. Like, it's a decent enough total here. Not a great spot, but not a terrible spot. They are on the second end of a back-to-back. Bagley got into a little bit of foul trouble, I think, today, which isn't surprising. Yeah, going up against Julius Randle. We all kind of expected that as a possibility. But outside of that, he has been playing more minutes recently after they decided to say he was on a minutes restriction and then just playing for 35 minutes. But he's been playing high 20s, low 30s outside of that game against New York. And again, that was just because of foul trouble. So I have no problem with playing him. Halliburton has been playing pretty darn well recently and showing a lot of upside. His price tag hasn't fully adjusted yet. Matchup versus Detroit, he's got a good shot at crushing it tonight. Fox is always in play in tournaments. Holmes, if Whiteside ends up playing tomorrow, like, I don't know if he's going to end up with a ton of minutes. He could, but like not a guy I want to play with. But Harrison Barnes at 5.5K, I feel like, is a great tournament play. He can't, for some reason, like you look at his game log and it's absolutely ridiculous. Over the last 10 days or 10 games, he's had four games over 40 and four games under 25, two of which he had under 20. He's not horribly consistent, but he's always in play for tournaments when he's this cheap. He was 6.7K not too long ago. Just put up a 40 spot against New York this last night, which is why they kept his price tag even lower. 5.5K is just ridiculous. He's a fantastic tournament play.
Let's talk Detroit, right? Like, this is a spot we love to target big man against Sacramento. Is Plumlee too expensive? Or no. Do we think, like, you think he can crush in the spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just put up 49 in the last game going up against New Orleans. He put up 33, which at 6.5K isn't going to crush you. He's had over 40 in multiple games. He had a triple-double not too long ago. It's a terrible defensive team, the Kings. Like, Plumlee is still a great play. Jeremy Grant, he's interesting at this price tag. He hasn't really been contributing, or he had a long spree of not contributing a ton in any peripheral stat, and he's kind of gone back to where he should be. I think a matchup going up against Sacramento, spot where he can get right. He's cheaper than he's been in a while at 7.3K in a fantastic matchup where he can realistically put up 35, 40 real-life points here. So Plumlee and Grant are my favorite too. I don't mind Jackson, especially if Bay ends up missing. There's a potential that Jackson ends up getting more run. Dennis Smith Jr. and Saben Lee are the tough ones to figure out. Like I like all these Detroit players because none of them are too heavily priced. And it's against Sacramento. I think they have an 8 higher implied team total than they have on average this year. And just because Sacramento's the worst defense in the league by a large margin. Dennis Smith Jr. got an extended amount of run in the last game. And I think people might be chasing that. I think Saben Lee might be the better play. The ESJ got more run because Grant was ruled out. They needed him to create a little bit more. But I think Saben Lee may end up with a decent amount of playing time in this spot. And there's a chance they go with the two-guard lineup. So I favor Lee a little bit, but I think both of them are very much in play for tournaments. Jackson's in play for tournaments. Better play if Bay's ruled out. But I love Plumlee, and I really like Grant here.
Yeah, I think it becomes super interesting if Bay gets ruled out, for what it's worth. I think Jackson would be someone you could potentially look at. I think like the minute increase for DSJ against New Orleans the other night is something that we need to be looking at. Like, he played 26 minutes. He got 12 shot attempts up. Like, it was the most he's played since he's been traded to this team. So with Wright out, if Bay is out too, could we potentially see like 30 minutes out of DSJ here? I think it's a possibility.
I think it's a possibility. I'm just trying to figure it out. I mean, the last game it was because Jeremy Grant was out. If Bay is ruled out, then like, are they going to run both DSJ and Saben Lee out there at the same time? Are they potentially going to start Jackson? Are they going to go a little bit smaller going up against Sacramento? It's kind of a tough one to figure out. I think DSJ and Saben Lee are both in play for tournaments, but I wouldn't be surprised if DSJ with Grant coming back goes back down to his normal minutes, his minutes before the last game. Just because Jeremy Grant, I think, is why they ended up playing him in extended run. He started off the game so hot.
Fair enough. We continue to roll here. We got the Clippers in Memphis. This is the same game that happened on Thursday. That wasn't that close. Obviously, it's a back-to-back, so we'll be waiting on, you know, some injury news here. If anybody gets rolled out on the second end of a back-to-back, I wouldn't, you know, rule that out. Clippers, man, they kind of got ran out of the gym by Memphis on Thursday. We really didn't see, like, Valanciunas had a good game, but it's not like he broke the slate. Tyus Jones was probably the closest to breaking the slate, almost went 10x. But overall, Grant, like, you know, I don't see myself like going crazy with this game in general.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, unless Kawhi or Paul George get ruled out on the second end of back to back, that's going to be the deciding factor. If one of those guys gets ruled out, obviously the other guy becomes a great play, and potentially Lou Williams, although his price tag of 6,100 is a little bit tough to stomach, but he'll get some extended run there, could get back up to his high 20s minutes in terms of playing time, which he can beat this price tag pretty good and put up a 40 spot. But yeah, like the Clippers, unless if everyone's playing, I don't want anyone in Memphis. Like, I'll take a shot on Morant. I'll take a shot on Valanciunas. Like, maybe if Brooks gets ruled out, I'm take a shot on Anderson for a little bit of extended playing time. But I mean, they're running a pretty deep rotation, so no one's really going to get the playing time they really need in order to crush outside of possibly Morant.
Yeah, I just like, I think Morant is the guy that I'd go back to the well on. Talked about him a lot yesterday. It's just they beat Memphis. Like, Memphis just beat him, man. It wasn't like a great game in any aspect for DFS. Utah at Miami, no total in this game. We're waiting on some injury news here from Miami. That's actually like huge news, right? Because Bam is questionable and Hero is questionable. Bradley and Leonard are out, but we'll get to the Miami side here in a second. Utah is rolling. You know, they're the best team in the NBA this season, and it's probably not close. We'll see if they can continue to do it in the playoffs. But what are your thoughts here when it comes to the Jazz?
If Bam's out, I'm worried about staying close. Gobert, Mitchell are both fine. Like, Clarkson's about priced where he should be. Like, I'm worried about this game staying close. I don't see a ton of upside with Clarkson, considering that his price is not fully adjusted to Conley coming back. Conley is probably not going to get over 30 minutes. They should keep him limited. He's fine in tournaments, fine in a game stack. Bogdanovich, Ingles, like, not doing the same role as they were when Conley wasn't there. Like, it's Mitchell and Gobert, but I'm worried about this game staying close, especially if Hero and Bam are out. Like, Utah is just crushing people. And so, yeah, any one of these guys can end up hitting value or crushing value. But I'm like, the only way I'm using Mitchell and Gobert are the only two I want to use. And the only way I'm using them is in a game stack, because if Bam's out, then Jimmy Butler, I think, becomes a fantastic play. And there's a few guys that get a pretty decent uptick. So game stack's not out of the question. It's just I worry about how close this game's going to stay.
Yeah, I think like that is obviously, I think that's the biggest concern in general in this one. So, you know, for Utah, if you think the game's going to stay close, I think, you know, you're potentially looking at like Mike Conley at 6K. He's someone that can, you know, go 6, 7X here. I don't hate Rudy Gobert. If Bam is out and this game stays close, like Butler on the other side of this game would probably be the reason why this game's staying close.
Yeah, no, Butler, I mean, he went on that nice little string of triple-doubles and missed it by 2 rebounds the other night. He's been contributing all over the place, been crushing. Look at his last 7, 8 games, he's over 50 in most of those, over 60 in a few. He's just been incredible recently, and he's been carrying the team. If Bam's out, then we can expect an increase in usage. He can have a massive outing. Again, I'm worried about the game staying close, so I'd probably bring it back with either Gobert or Mitchell, more likely Mitchell. But, yeah, if Bam's out, then play Butler. If Bam's in, I think you can still play Butler and you can still stack up this game because it's more likely that it won't be a blowout. If Hero's out, I think that you can still play Nunn at 5,800. It's not an easy matchup, but he's going to play a boatload of minutes without Hero in there, and I think that he could still do pretty well. But yeah, it's just a big question mark without Bam in there and without Hero.
Yeah, I think if Bam gets ruled out, Olynyk is somewhat interesting just for large field tournaments, just because he can extend Gobert a little bit. But like, Chris Silva is back as well, so like he could get minutes at center. So I don't know. I think Butler would be the main play. I think Kendrick Nunn. And, you know, Goran Dragic being back too, like how many minutes are they going to let him play? You know, he only played 21 minutes the other night. He's 5,200. Like, are they going to bump him up like to 26, 27 minutes at 5,200? Like, he's somewhat interesting if that happens.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I didn't think about them potentially. I mean, I think they would normally be pretty careful with him, but I guess the fact that I think they're still on the outside looking in for the playoffs. I mean, I still expect them to make it, but this is like every game kind of means something more to them now. So I could see them playing Dragic for 30 minutes, cutting down Nunn's minutes a little bit.
Atlanta at OKC, 223.5 total here. Atlanta favored by 3. Bogdanovich, Dunn, Hunter out, Reddish questionable, Diallo, Hill, and Horford out for OKC. Let's start here with Atlanta. What do you like here for the Hawks?
I like Capella. I know he put up a horrible outing the other night, but he didn't really get a ton of run there. It was simply because they're up 20 points or 20 some odd points at halftime. Like, they didn't need to give him a ton of run. They've been playing him for a large amount of minutes recently, and I expect them to play him for a decent amount of minutes here. It's a nice little mismatch. He's going to be going up against Roby. If he plays high 30s minutes, which if this game stays close, I think he does, he can absolutely smash this price tag. Like, I've been saying, he's a little bit underpriced for his minutes recently, and it still holds true, and they haven't given him a pricing increase because of the massive blowout in the last game. Trae Young. Like, literally every single day he's in play for tournaments. Some days he's a great play. Right now, I think he's just a good play. It's a decent total game, and it's a three-point spread. So no problem with him. If Reddish is out, I think it gives a little bit of an uptick to Herter, a little bit of uptick to Gallo, a little bit of uptick to Collins. Any one of them can end up with a big night. Collins would have played more minutes, but the blowout and the foul trouble. So, I mean, if I have to rank what Atlanta guys I like the most, it's probably Capella, followed by Collins, followed by Trae.
Yeah, you know, I think Capella, he could have a monster game here, but he's been kind of hit or miss. I think Trae Young's super interesting. Herter is super interesting here. Gallinari, big game the other night. Like, if, like, a lot of that had to do with John Collins, but if Reddish sits, I think Gallinari could get a little bit more run here. You know, John Collins ended up playing on the second end of the back-to-back the other night after the concussion protocol thing. We didn't think he would. But, you know, you got to remember, too, they didn't give him his full minutes. So I would assume him to get his full minutes again. But I do think that if we get news that Reddish is going to sit again, Gallinari is somewhat interesting in this spot if you think the game's going to stay close. On the Thunder side of things, you know, obviously got SGA, the usage hog on this team. Roby is going to get solid minutes here with Horford out, but he's kind of, you know, right at that price point. What are you looking at here for the Thunder?
Yeah, SGA is the main guy. Roby, I think, is in play at tournaments, but you're right, being close to 5K. We don't know if he's going to end up in foul trouble. Wouldn't surprise me at all ending up in foul trouble going up against Capella and Collins. So it's just tough. Like, I think SGA is the play. I don't really want to play Bazley, Dort, or Maldon. Like, they're all going to get their run. They're all going to get some minutes. Like, Diallo being out is probably going to give a little bit of usage, a little bit of minutes to these guys, but they're all priced about where they should be. It's a big enough slate where I don't feel a need to play them outside of a game stack. Like, you can play Dort, you can play Bazley, you can play Maldon. You can play any of these guys because Diallo not being there is going to be a little bit of usage hole, but I think SGA is just the play. Like, he's been crushing. He's had a ton of usage the last three games. He's put up 40, 61, and 51 in the last three games. He's going to play a boatload of minutes. It's a matchup versus Atlanta, who's just absolutely terrible against the one. It's SGA for me, really, and just including another guy in there in game stack if I'm bringing it back with Trae Young and with Capella, just because it does give you a little bit of savings and you're hoping on this game staying close, which if it does, any one of these guys in a secondary piece can do it for you.
Yeah. I worry overall on the Thunder here, but I think, like, the thing that we got to remember here is Diallo's out, and, like, he's a guy that, you know, gets a lot of shots up and plays solid minutes. So, like, Dort and, like, Kendrick Williams is probably going to play more minutes here. Kendrick Williams, like, 3,500. And if this game doesn't stay close, he probably doesn't get pulled. I think he's, you know, somewhat interesting as well. Charlotte at Golden State, 233 and a half total here. Golden State favored by 5.5. No injury report out for this one yet officially, but, like, Zeller's questionable. And then one of the Martin twins, Caleb Martin's out. What do you like here for Charlotte?
Hayward match versus Golden State is probably a little bit too cheap. Obviously, Golden State is one of the fastest paced teams in the league right now. Should be a lot of points here. I love LaMelo. Like, LaMelo has been a little bit off and on, but producing on a pretty consistent basis. Games where they stay close, he doesn't get into foul trouble, he ends up playing high 30s minutes. So, like, 8.7K, I think, is too cheap of a price tag for him, considering the matchup. I think he crushes here. And Gordon Hayward, I know he hasn't been great recently. It's mostly been because Rozier went on that massive tear, and he's definitely taking a little bit of hit with LaMelo going into the starting lineup. But I still think he offers a bunch of upside at this price tag. It's kept dropping. It was at 8K earlier this month, and it's all the way down to 6.7. This is the perfect time to hop on board. Last game, put up 17 shot attempts. Game before that was 15. So he can put up a massive outing. Those would be by far my two favorite guys.
Yeah, like with Graham still out for this game, LaMelo, I could see LaMelo just kind of trying to show up in this game against Steph, but his price just makes him so hard to like get, you know, him and Rozier, like their prices just make it tough to play these guys. Like, I think you're probably looking at these guys more MME. I like the Hayward call a lot. You know, he's someone that is not like overly priced in this game. On the Golden State side, I think it's the same two guys we've been talking about. You know, Draymond, you know, we see an increase with him. We talked about it the other day when Steph is on the floor. And then Steph, like, he's 9,700, and he's a guy that can have monster games. So those would be the two guys I'm looking at when it comes to this team.
Yeah, it's pretty much just Steph and Draymond. Draymond in there, kind of like Steph being in there, he definitely had a down without Steph in there. Had a pretty big downtick in terms of his assists. Like with Steph being in there, he's kind of distributing in this offense a whole lot more. Has a chance at a triple-double most nights. 6.9K definitely offers some upside now that he's been contributing a whole lot more with blocks and steals. Steph is Steph. Like, it's Magic versus Charlotte, which isn't bad. And Steph can go for 70 any given night. Like, he's too cheap at 9.7K after being over 10K for, like, the second half of the first half of the season. So it's just a good spot, and he's underpriced. So both of them are very much in play.
We finish it out with Portland at LA taking on the Lakers. 220.5 total here. Lakers favored by 5. Collins, Giles, McCollum, Nurkic out. Anthony Davis out, but Schroeder back. Kuzma probable. LeBron probable. Let's start here with Portland. What do you like here for the Trailblazers?
Only Lillard. Like, I don't like the matchup for any of these guys. I don't like. I get that Lakers aren't the same defensive team without Davis in there, but they're still not a bad defensive team. They're not going to run at that high of a pace. Covington's still too expensive. Gary Trent Jr. is where he should be at. Cantor's where he should be at. I don't like this spot for Lillard, but he got a price decrease of about 800 over the last two games, and he's going to shoot the ball possibly 30 times in the spot going up against LeBron. So Lillard's in play for tournaments. I'm staying away from Portland otherwise.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I do think like the matchup for Cantor is really good, but the price makes it tough when we have so many center plays that I think could easily outscore him in this one. Like the price is caught up to like Derek Jones Jr. He's still like a potential like MME play. On the Lakers side of things, you know, it's LeBron. Outside of LeBron, I think Schroeder at 5,900, assuming that he's going to get like his normal amount of minutes here, is super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just kind of, we don't know how he's going to react to COVID. So, or was it, did he get COVID? No, it was just protocols, right?
I think it was just protocols.
Yeah. So he's only been out for a week. Like, I'm not expecting them to limit his time. We know how much usage he's going to get without Davis on the floor. So, yeah, it's, Schroeder, like LeBron is probably too expensive now. It's 10.7 with Schroeder coming back. He had a pretty big usage without Schroeder and Davis on the floor. But I think his price tag didn't adjust for the Schroeder news. And so, this isn't a great game, even though it's a great spot for the Lakers going up against Portland. But everyone's price is kind of where it should be. They've been giving Gasol a decent amount of minutes over the last few games. Like, I think that he could potentially be in play for GPPs if you want to stack up this game. 4'1K is not that expensive. And the only reason he didn't get much run at the end of the last game was because it was a blowout. Other than that, he's been 27-24 in the last two games. Matchup versus Kanter, they could give him a little bit of extended run since Kanter is not a great defensive center, and he's a very good offensive center. So they could give Gasol 27 minutes in the spot. He'd be the main guy I want to go take a chance with, along with Schroeder.
Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. Let's start it off with favorite play under 5K to 7X.
Go with Tristan Thompson.
I'm going to go I hate even saying this, but I'm going to go DSJ. I could be way off here.
And honestly, I think if you said DSJ or Saben Lee, you pretty much got a 50% chance of being right.
Yeah, I don't know if you play them both together a lot, maybe a little bit, but I think you can make a group where you're making a majority of your teams without playing both of them together. So, yeah. Or over 8K to go under 5X, who's your bust at the top today?
LeBron. Which is so weird to say against Portland.
I know. I didn't see that one coming.
I mean, I honestly, he hasn't been playing great recently. Schroeder coming back is just, I don't know. I mean, I might be way off here, but I think Schroeder coming back is a little bit too much of a downgrade for him. And I think that, even though it's a great matchup, his price tag is just a little bit too expensive for me. Maybe it's just because, I'd rather play Lillard. I'd probably rather play Trae Young, Curry, all at the same, all at cheaper price tags.
Yeah, I'm going to go kind of towards the bottom of this range and say John Wall at 8,200, Oladipo back. I don't trust Wall to, go for 40-plus, so I'm going to take John Wall. I worry about the game staying close, too. Who's your favorite 6X play today?
On Plumlee.
The Plum Dog.
Plum Dog Millionaire.
Yeah, this is an hour ago, it seems like, but I'm going to go to Kemba Walker at 6,200. I really like the price tag on Kemba. I know he hasn't had a ton of big games, but he has gone 6X in two of the last five, so maybe we can make that 50% and go three out of the last six. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Grant, who do you get weird with on this slate?
Gordon Hayward, is that weird enough?
It's a nine game slate, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the price tag's gone down so much, and it's just such a good spot.
All right. I'm gonna I talked about this guy a little while ago. I'm gonna go Gallinari. I don't know if people will be playing a lot of him. Game selection. Anything standing out to you on FanDuel or DraftKings today?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I'm more of there's overlay on Superdraft, their contest. It's the majority of my play.
Fair enough. You got to play where you feel the best. And if that's where you're feeling it, then that's where you're feeling it. I know I've been talking about this a lot this week, but had some people reach out to me on Twitter talking about I only talk about the high entry stuff, and I've been talking about lower entry contests all the second half of the week. Gonna finish it out here with the 50K and one over there on DraftKings. We talk about the 20 entry max stuff a lot for the $4 tournament. This is a $1 tournament over there on DraftKings, so $20 to make 20 entries. You can use Lineup HQ if you have premium. Somebody's going to take home $2,500, 27% payouts. First place is only 5%. Top 10 is only 14.6%. This is a great tournament to start building your 20 entry max strategy and stuff like that. So, again, I think this one's awesome. You guys can check it out. Hopefully the last couple days for the lower stakes players have helped. And again, I will, try to mix some of these in more. That's all. So let's finish it out here. Anything over the under or against the spread?
The Utah line just came out over on DK, and it's 5.5. So Utah minus 5.5. I just bet it.
There you go. I like it. I'm going to go... I feel like if you have bet against the Lakers since Anthony Davis has gone out and just taken points against Lakers, like, you're probably pretty profitable. So, like, I'm just going to keep doing it, Grant. I'm going to go Portland plus 5. I'm going to trust Lillard here. And Portland's playing really good basketball right now. So I like that one. And I like Phoenix minus 5.5, too. I think Phoenix is really strong as well. So any other thoughts before we get out of here?
No. Good luck on your – I just want this Denver game to go to overtime.
Well, I hope that happens for you. Again, I play the Magic. I stop looking. that's going to wrap it up here for Friday. Hope everyone has an awesome weekend. You know, if you're playing NASCAR, make sure you guys check out the NASCAR package here at RotoGrinders. We got two races this weekend, Homestead, Miami, fun track, high tire wear, steep racetrack, which is a ton of fun. So racing is always good there. So that's going to wrap it up here for Friday. Hope everyone has an awesome weekend. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you guys again on Monday.
Hey, kids.